For the last few weeks, or Wednesday nights, we were looking at the book of Isaiah, and now we're moving into Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the next of the largest books, the prophets, major prophets, and he actually does come chronologically after Isaiah as well. You'll recall that Isaiah prophesied during the time of the divided monarchy. Israel was still in existence, but he came in and started prophesying towards the very end of the nation of Israel, before they were taken away captive by the Assyrians. And he prophesied through that and into Hezekiah's reign in the southern nation of Judah, and when the Assyrians threatened Judah as well. And so we're now coming in on some time after that with, with Jeremiah. He prophesied for about 43 years from 627 B.C. So that would be, of course, after the Assyrians took away Israel in 721 B.C. So about 100 years later, and then all the way through to the destruction of Jerusalem and just a little bit beyond that. So Jeremiah, what do we know about Jeremiah? What is he typically called? What is a nickname that a lot of people have given him? The Weeping Prophet. And that's because his prophecies, his writings, which are found in the book of Jeremiah and then also in the book of Lamentations, is such that is with great sorrow over the condition of Judah and the judgment that's coming. Of course, the term Lamentations, lament, sorrow, and so forth, is what is the title of his second book. But he is known as the Weeping Prophet as a result of that. There is one overall arching theme to the book of Jeremiah. It is just pervasive. It is almost the entire book, and that would be Judah's sin and God's judgment. There is no other prophet who spends such an enormous amount of material discussing the sin of the nation and God's coming judgment. Granted, plenty of the other prophets do mention this and talk about it at length, but not to the extent that Jeremiah does. And, of course, our class is on the glory of God in God's salvation through judgment. And we're going to see the salvation, but it is actually just a very small part of the book of Jeremiah. Now, that small part is a very, very important part. It's extremely important. But the majority of his writing is about the coming judgment of God. It is dominated by judgment. It is a depressing look at Judah's condition and what will happen to them. One of the themes that is found throughout the book of Jeremiah is how they have forsaken Yahweh. And that's really the root of the issue. They have forsaken God, and so that means they weren't trusting in Him, they weren't worshiping Him, they weren't following His laws and His statutes, and so therefore they were not glorifying Him. That is the main issue at hand. There's one bright spot in the book of Jeremiah. It's found in chapters 30, 31, 32, and 33. Those four chapters, which are pretty much the center of the book, is what people have called the Book of Consolation. Those four chapters are referred to as the Book of Consolation, and this is where the most hope is found in the book of Jeremiah. Everything leading up to that point and everything afterwards is judgment, judgment, judgment. Their gross sins and God's coming judgment. And even in chapters 30 through 33, there is mention of the sin and the judgment, but it is permeated by a message of hope, of consolation, that He will be bringing them back. He will bring back that remnant, and He will save them. And we're going to look at those chapters in depth next Wednesday night. Jeremiah 31, I'm just giving you a little preview. Jeremiah 31, there is found a famous passage that you're probably familiar with, because it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 8. And the Hebrew writer spends a great deal of time on The idea of the new covenant, well, that's a quotation from Jeremiah 31, where he talks about the coming new covenant that he's going to make with the house of Israel and Judah. Okay, so that book of consolation is the central part of the book of Jeremiah. Okay, so tonight what I want to look at is Judah's sin and just how bad Judah had gotten, and that is resulting in the coming judgment of God. By the time Jeremiah is prophesying, there really is no hope for Judah. There are some glimmers every now and then. God says on some occasions, if you will turn, I will relent, or I will at least postpone, I will delay, but the judgment is coming. And he knows, of course, God knows that they're not, as a nation, going to turn. There may be some individuals that change, some individuals that repent, but as a whole, the nation is doomed. There isn't much hope for the nation. So we're going to see the extent of the judgment of God and why God's judgment needed to come. Okay, we've talked in this class about the purpose of judgment is to cleanse and to purge. It is to produce salvation for those who will listen to God, and those who will be rebuked by Him and willing to be rebuked by Him. So that's what we'll be looking at tonight. Before we move into that, any comments or questions that anybody has? Okay, so let's take a look, first of all, at the fact that Judah's sin persisted throughout her history, and it was also pervasive throughout society. This was not an isolated thing. This wasn't a late-coming thing. This was something that had happened pretty much from the beginning. Let's start by going to Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the book of Jeremiah thematically tonight and tomorrow, or next Wednesday, rather. And we're just going to take a look at some verses that are representative of what you would find as you read through the writings of Jeremiah. And by the way, the book of Jeremiah is not, like many of the prophets' prophetic messages, it's a collection of his messages and writings, his oral writings and his oral teachings and his writings. It's not done in chronological order. It's done, in fact, there's a chiastic arrangement to the book of Jeremiah, and the focal point is that book of consolation, chapters 30 through 33. So it's done thematically and not done chronologically. There are some prose sections, a lot of it's poetic as well. But in Jeremiah chapter 3 and in verses 24 and following, you'll see what he says there about their condition. He says, for shame, or this is actually a dialogue between God and people who have decided to listen to Him. He says in verse 22, let's start there, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. And then they reply, indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth. Their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters, we lie down in our shame and our reproach covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. In this imaginary dialogue that God is having here in this part of the chapter with His people, He's calling them to turn from their ways and to return to Him. That's another theme of Jeremiah. And there's this response that we will turn back, or we are coming to you, for we have been sinful from our youth. Okay, now, if only the nation would really have said that and done that. Look over at chapter 22. Chapter 22. This is in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. And he says in verse, this is God speaking to the nation and to Jehoiakim. He says in verse 21, I spoke to you, I'm in Jeremiah 22, verse 21, I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth, that you did not obey my voice. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but maybe some of you have experienced raising a child who you could sum up their life with, I tried talking to you, I tried teaching you, but you have been stubborn since the days of your youth and you have not listened to me. Okay, that's exactly what's going on with Judah. And God is saying, I have tried and tried and tried with you from the day you were born to get you to do right. And Judah has just been stubborn from their youth and did not obey his voice, he says. Also in chapter 32, and look at verse 29. Chapter 32 and verse 29. He's prophesying about the Chaldeans coming, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, coming to enact justice or judgment upon them. And the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to the city and burn it with the houses on whose roofs they have offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have provoked me only to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day they built it, even to this day. So I will remove it from before my face. And he goes on to talk more about what's coming. So twice in this selection here, he talks about how long they have persisted in their sin. From their youth, he says, and even from the day they built Jerusalem. Now, we understand that that's got to be accommodative language because the Israelites didn't build Jerusalem. They captured it. Now, they would have enlarged it and so forth and remodeled it, so to speak. But in other words, from the time that y'all inhabited Jerusalem until now, you've done nothing but anger me with the work of your hands. Okay, so just a constant for years and years and years. Now think about this. Let's do some quick math. Jeremiah is prophesying in the 600s BC. Does anybody know approximately when the divided kingdom happened, when David and Solomon reigned and then Rehoboam and Jeroboam took over? Does anybody know approximately the dates there? Does anybody have that memorized? Say again? No, the Exodus took place in 1450, approximately. But a good bookmark, it's not exact, but just a good, easy way to remember, and it will get you close, is about 1,000. BC. Now, that's off a few years, but that's just an easy way to place a marker. Everybody can remember 1,000. So, how many years does that make? 400 years. It's going to be a little bit less than that because that was when David was reigning, and then you had Solomon after that before it broke up. But still, you've got close to 400 years that God has put up with the nation of Judah. And he says, it's just been evil continually. Does that remind you of another Bible passage? At least it does me. Well, maybe something in Deuteronomy, but where it's just evil continually. That's the only thing that is on the people's minds. And yeah, with Noah and the flood, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1 or and following. That's all they thought about. That's all they did. Now, that's exaggeration. Because there was some good periods there, and there was some good kings, but they were in the minority. I mean, they were in a very large minority. Because It was mostly evil all the time. And even during the good kings, we are told that the people only followed God in pretense, that they didn't really turn to Him with their whole heart. And so God has had to put up with them for 400 years. Look at Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Those passages that we looked at just kind of illustrate how long they have been persistent in their rebellion against God and rejecting God, forsaking God, as Jeremiah tends to talk about forsaking Yahweh. But it's also pervasive throughout the society. It's not just a certain portion of society. It is pervasive. Jeremiah 5 and look at verse 1. God calls out saying, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her." Do you remember Abraham and his bargaining with God? We talked about this just recently in another class. And how with Sodom and Gomorrah, how he was coming in judgment on those cities. We talked about it on Sunday, I think it was, in Sunday's class. And it got down to, or Abraham got down to how many men? How many people that were righteous? 10. He started with 50, if I remember correctly, and got down to 10, begging God not to destroy those cities if there were at least 10 righteous people. And God said, okay, if there are 10 righteous people, I will not destroy these cities. Obviously, there were not, because He destroyed them. Okay, and God is saying the same thing here. He's saying, just find me a single person that will enact righteousness, that will execute judgment and see the truth, and I'll pardon Jerusalem. Well, there had to be at least one, because Jeremiah lived there. And also Baruch. Do y'all know who Baruch was? That's very important to the book of Jeremiah. Yeah, it was Jeremiah's scribe that wrote a lot of what Jeremiah was writing and or speaking. And so you had Jeremiah, you had Baruch, you had some others that are mentioned throughout this book as being righteous, but this just is just God showing just how bad it is that it's everywhere, it's everybody, and it's been this way for so long. Yeah, the cities that do not listen to the apostles when they go preach, yeah. It'd be worse for them than Sodom and Gomorrah.
So here, you know, how much worse was Jerusalem than Sodom and Gomorrah? That he said, if you can find me just one person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just how bad it is. That's how bad it's gotten, that there's not enough righteous people in the city to spare her. She's going to be destroyed. Look over at Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. Because from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone does falsely. It's so bad, it's so pervasive, that even the prophets and the priests are just as guilty. You know, usually you're going to have at least the religious leaders who are holding out and trying to persuade the people, even though they're not listening. It's not even the religious leaders. They're just as bad as everybody else. Okay. And so because of how pervasive it is, judgment is coming. And for how long has it been this way? Okay, let me ask you a question. This is nothing new to you, probably. I mean, we've seen this in other classes. You've talked about this. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard this talked about, how, you know, God's patience, but eventually he's going to come in judgment, and how he not only judges individuals, but he judges nations and so forth. We need to be realistic about our nation as well. And that, you know, we don't have any revelation given to us about the United States of America. And so we cannot say, well, God had certain plans for this nation, and he has certain plans, and this is what it's going to be like in the future, this is what he's going to do. All we can do is look back at what is recorded for us in Scripture and how he dealt with all the nations, whether it be his own nation of Israel and Judah, or whether it be the surrounding nations and the dealings he had with them. What is common about every single one of them?